This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee. The Rising Sisters, an epic journey towards rebellion and a bond in sisterhood through time.
It was Easter Monday. My sister Cat and I stood in the porch of the Windsor Hotel Cork when the G-men followed us out. They were keeping a close eye on us.
I suppose you're too tired to come with me, Cat. I'll go to the church to say my prayers. I won't be long.
Good luck. Go down the side street to shake them off.
We hugged and I approached one of the detectives outright and asked,
"Excuse me, sir, could you tell me where St. Augustine's church is?"
"Sure, St. Patrick's is only just up there. It's much nearer."
"I would prefer St. Augustine's."
With the dispatches in my hair, I made my way through the streets. The buggers followed me. I made my way out a side door of the church. They must have thought I was a right mug as they waited outside the church. I made my way up a side street. I thought if I couldn't get to Blackpool, the priest at St. Augustine's, who was sympathetic with the efforts of rebellion, would take the dispatches. But now I found myself on the road to Blackpool. As far as I could see, I was not being followed. But alas, as I arrived in Blackpool, it was all in vain.
"What is it? Are you from Dublin?"
"I am. I've something for Tomás McCartan."
"Look, you're too late. McCartan and his company are on a route march in Macroom. What the bloody hell's going on?"
"I'll be out to you in just 2 minutes."
"Mother, would you come hurry?"
"What is it in the name of God? Are you after coming from Dublin? What in the name of all that's good and holy is after happening? Where were you at all?"
"I can't apologise enough. I'm terrible sorry for this. My lateness was caused by a string of inconveniences. Everything went against me from the moment I left Dublin. Can you get this dispatch to them at all?"
"I'm his brother, and I'll get it to him. But all these commands and counter-commands, what the bloody hell?"
No, whisht. What's done is done."
"Or not done."
"Oh, we had a desperate ordeal. I couldn't help what has happened, and now it's too late, I know. Can I bring anything back at all?"
"No. Well, go on over it now, miss. We don't know what is happening anymore. It's a farce. Get back up to Dublin."
"Will you wisht? Make your way back now, girl. And mind how you go.
I'm so sorry."
"What's all the fuss about up in Sackville Street? For God's sake, they're all out marching."
"In the name of God, are they up to today?"
"Are you playing, soldiers?"
"Ma, all the streets are blocked up at the top.
Ah, will you go on and play, child? Don't be annoying me."
"Ah, look at them, with their bleeding sticks and lump hammers."
"Here, look at your man with the rope. A load of culchies up making an Easter parade for themselves. For the love of God,
go home. This is serious."
"I hear. Did you hear your man? Go home, he said."
"This is serious."
"You look serious, all right, with your fists swinging by your sides.
Can't you do your march another day and don't be disrupting the streets for their nippers?"
"The Irish Republican Army now make this building its official headquarters. All citizens must be aware we intend to use this as our stronghold against the British police and armed forces."
"It's a disgrace to think on such a peaceful day, such hooliganism."
"Look, someone's taken down the flag."
"Hands up. Put them over your head. Now the two of you up against the wall. Now!
Here! They're breaking all the lovely glass!
What a commotion, and we're only after receiving Holy Communion."
"Is there any respect for the public and the feast of Easter to be had today?
Look! Who is this fella here?
Irishmen and Irishmen.
Your man!
In the name of God and the dead generations from which she receives her old tradition of nation, Ireland, through us, summons her children to hear her flag.
Would you listen to your man? He's bleeding mad, so he is.
Cheek upsetting this lovely afternoon with all this thuggery and hooliganism.
How are the separation widows to collect their payment?
But what's with all the street theatre? Would you look at all the lovely glass smashed on the ground?
The right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland and to the unfettered control of Irish destinies. The Irish Republic is entitled.
Did he just say they declared the right of the Irish people? The poor bugger. The man thinks he can actually assert enough power to give us that right.
The poor man. The deft.
In this supreme hour, the
Jesus,
Irish nation
give
must,
anybody
by its
soap
valour
box
and discipline,
get up on it.
And by the readiness of the children to sacrifice.
Here you go, sir.
What's this? Irish men and Irish women. In the name of God and the dead generations. That's what this lunatic has been reading out.
Clear to God? What's all this? Irish men and Irish women. Here, love, I'd buy one off you. It'll be worth a fiver some day when the beggars are hanged.
Well, what are they saying?
They bought a few and said it would be worth a fiver some day when the beggars are hanged.
Get away home now.
Thanks be to God, Pierce. We live to see this day.
I know, Mick. O'Sullivan is on the roof after raising our nation's flags. Now, let's seal these doors. Let's move.
By 3 o'clock, we took the train to Dublin. The journey back was like a dream. The only thing keeping me from forgetting was a sinking feeling that I had failed. And as we got closer to Dublin, I found myself thinking of Killa when we were young.
I won't be hunted off my own land like a criminal.
Then you'll be dragged howling, peasant.
I've 12 children. Where do you suppose we go? This is our home, and this land is the land I walk in.
You can appeal any concerns relating to this decision at the town hall, and all inquiries must be made in English.
I'm relating my concerns to you now. Answer me now. Where will I take my wife and 12 children?
Take them to hell for all I care.
You're only an animal. An immoral, heartless animal.
What did you call me? Peasant?
I call you an animal. Or are you...
Your red book is behind. And you don't even fend for your own children. And you call me an animal? Peasant, you know your place when addressing me. Now clear off.
Our family and neighbours grafted a deep sympathy and affection for anyone whose right to live in their own land had been suppressed by the humiliation of poverty and social exclusion. And now, it seemed like it didn't matter. Everything was a distant memory, and yet it was why we had come so far. Would we struggle forever? Would we ever know how to live as we wanted to? As we arrived at the train station in Dublin and got a taxi home, my sister and I were stopped in our tracks by a soldier.
Hey, what's going on? Can I drive through here?
This is a disturbance, Egg. We've closed off some streets. Go back. You can't go this way.
It had started. I managed to make my way to the GPO and my sister went to find out what orders there were for the nurses' stations. I struggled to get into the GPO, but when I did, I told Sean McDermott and Pierce my tale of woe. Not that it mattered anymore.
Well, what happened in Cork?
I failed.
Did you see McCurtain? What did he say?
I only met his brother, and he was like a madman. I was followed and held overnight at the Windsor Hotel by two G-men. When I finally got there, McCurtain's brother informed me about them all going to McCroom on a route march.
Jesus, you've had hard luck, Bridget. Go home and get some sleep. Come again in the morning.
By Tuesday, I had passed through barriers with all sorts of excuses, which was relatively easy. I carried dispatches between Sean McDermida and Captain Weaver, who had ordered Marie Lawless and myself to set up a nurse's station at Skelton's at 14 Lower O'Connell Street. It used to be a tailor shop. I made my way through heavy gunfire and the air tingling with excitement and fear. At points I wanted to laugh hysterically, with my life like a feather amongst that heavy fire. A dead horse lay across the street, the children running and leaping over its body as they made their way home in the darkening streets. I felt alive and determined with the stench of death and artillery smoke and the damp air. Was I going mad? That night, the bombardment began. My sister Nora and Marie decided to stay in Skelton's nursing station. As it got dark, I felt terrified as the bombardment grew, its demolition pounding closer and closer. I don't know what the others felt, but I was frozen with fright. My sister Cat cleaned down the walls of the room at the new nurse's station. We collected food from the Dublin Bread Company. The volunteers had already removed most of the food supplies, but we got bread and butter and tea. The next day, a civilian was brought in on a stretcher.
Good God, Bridget, I think it's Maeve Kavanagh's brother.
Here, put pressure on the wound.
There's blood everywhere, Doctor. Where is the wound?
His stomach. Oh, look, press down here. Stop the bleeding. One of you girls, go out and get an ambulance. More towels, quickly. Anything to keep pressure.
Yes, Doctor.
Come back. Look, here, take this white towel. And for God's sake, wave it like mad and let them see you wave it.
Poor men. I was helpless and felt useless. Blood was everywhere. The doctors stayed till the ambulance came, but I think the poor creature died shortly afterwards. I got sick after he was taken in the ambulance. Truly sick and heaved at the sight of food for days after. We moved up to the Hibernian Bank, where the women were under severe strain. As Captain Weaver's body had been brought into the station, he had been killed.
British snipers had taken the roof and windows of Trinity College. There's an army of looters and vandals out there. Where are the troops?
I'm still hopeful 2,000 to 3,000 troops will ascend before long. We are holding our own, but their arrival is imminent.
There are up to 7,000 British troops in the central zones fighting. We are surrounded, and the looters. The civilian casualties will be staggering.
James, this looting has already occurred. It's been done by hangers-on of the British Army. Ireland must keep her honour unsmirched.
The days and lives of the rebels and civilians came under heavy fire. Dublin burned, and the looting even put the pubs under threat. Ragged boys wearing old boots tramped up and down with air rifles on their shoulder. Men and women sprawled about the streets, littered with empty and smashed bottles. A week wore on without any bread or milk available to the Dubliners. Many waved empty jugs at volunteers passing the barricades. How was this going to end? Every street was flowing with blood of civilians. 30 children had been fatally wounded. Empty bellies and broken hearts, and the morning chorus of gun blast.
I'm ordering a ceasefire.
What? Every shell fired, every building destroyed, every hour gained tells them that we mean business. They know this is serious. We can't stop.
I have been made aware of a civilian fleeing his burning home with a young family and wife. He was cut open by artillery fire in front of his defenseless children. Prepare this dispatch for all garrisons. In order to prevent the further slaughter of Dublin civilians, and in the hope of saving the lives of our followers now surrounded and helplessly outnumbered, the members of the provisional government present at headquarters have agreed to an unconditional surrender, and the commandments of the various districts in the city and country will order their commands to lay down their arms.
You can't be serious, Pierce. Is there no way?
We will surrender unconditionally. Get Miss Farrelly. Have her send us to the British commandment at once. No more life will be wasted.
When they surrendered, they were brought to their knees.
Captain Wilson, strip them and march them. Take the bandage off him.
Thomas Clark, the poor man. He asked them to leave him his gauze for fear his wound would open up.
Will you leave the man his clothes? He's wounded and freezing.
Is he now? Well, now he is naked and bleeding like a stuck pig. Right, march them up and down alone here. And you can take the cane off that one.
I can't walk without it.
Then you can crawl to the barracks. And you can sleep in your own excrement for all I care. Now move! Bloody rebels. See here, you rebels. You gallant men of Ireland. You will now know the true meaning of sacrifice. I'll make sure of that. Not one of you will ever again try something so blindly ignorant and futile. Free men of Ireland. Well, you're dead men walking now.
McLeometer, the nurses in the rotunda can see us. Sure it's nothing they haven't seen before. Or see again. I'll get that bugger. I swear to God.
Save your breath. His day will come. And all like him. We're all the same, Mick.
What do you mean? You're talking gibberish, man. We are nothing like them.
We're all enslaved in some way. And that bugger is enslaved by his own hatred. We don't even exist to him. See them gathering, gawking at us. They're enslaved to the gutter. What we did? Well, was it for nothing? Oh God, was it for nothing?
Lean on me more and stop this. It will be all right, Sean. You will be all right.
Idiots. Look at you now. Move along. Walk!
On the Monday, Effie Taff and myself went to the hospitals to inquire if any wounded volunteers needed messages brought to their families. We delivered them throughout the day. Effie stayed with us that night and we went to the hospitals. The next day, we arrived back at 2 o'clock. While I was having my dinner, a detective called to my door.
Who could that be? Will you get it, will you? Go and see, girl.
Is Bridget Fowley here?
No. No. I'm here. Oh, she is.
Well, blimey. There she is.
And what would you be wanting? Coming to my family home?
I'm placing you under arrest. I have reason to believe you have strong political ties with the terrorist organisation party Sinn Féin.
You mean the Provisional Irish Government?
Well, according to our brief, they are still the same old shinners. Whatever notions of nationalism you have about a provisional government, you can think them over in custody, miss. Now pack a suitcase. Is this your sister?
Yes.
Miss, your sister's going to be away for a few days. I wouldn't expect her back any time this evening or this week for that matter. Now run along and help her pack.
Get up onto the lorry.
On the journey, we collected Marie Perrals on St. George's Street, Mrs. Clark on Richmond Road, Arthur Griffith on St. Lawrence's Road in Clontarf, and several others. Over half the number of people who took part in the rising were arrested. Some were brought into Ship Street barracks with us. There was an awful din. Ah, one woman made a terrible racket.
Here, guard! Yes, you're going to have to leave me go, guard. I've a child on his own. Guard! Guard! Here, come here to me, guard. I've a small baby. Is he going to have to leave me be getting on my way? Because I have to feed him. And sure, he's only small. Guard! Guard!
What is going on here?
Guard, I've a small one at home and there's no one to feed him. Sure, God love us. Will you have a bit of mercy? Leave me go and feed my baby.
Leave you go? Sure, all these ladies will miss your bawling then.
I don't know. These ones are full of their airs and graces. There isn't a chick nor child between the lot of them. They've nothing to be doing, only causing havoc and wrecking the livelihoods of good people like you and me, guard.
Go and feed your baby and shut your pie hole.
Thanks, guard.
Thank God she's out of here.
One, two, three, four, five. Six women in this cell and five in the other one. You, miss. What's your name?
My name is Marie Paroles. I was brought in here the same day they executed Thomas Clark. We've become infested with lice and fleas with no adequate sanitary arrangements, only a bucket behind one of the doors. It's unbelievable.
Well, we are moving you soon. So quiet your crying. Oh, and breakfast will be served soon. And then you will be allowed to use the lavatory. So now jump in the queue.
What's this?
Oh, it's just skilly, miss. Would you like some bacon with that, love?
You keep us in filth and laugh at us when we needed to use the lavatory. You wouldn't even call it that. In a drying closet with no door. You laugh at us, jeer at us when we need to relieve.
It's true. We can't keep this up.
Disgraceful. I can't take this place at all. The thickness of the walls and lack of sunlight cause me to sicken and freeze. I can't eat this, Skilly. I can't sleep for fear we will be violated while we sleep. They get stinking drunk at night. They are not men. They are pigs. Filthy pigs.
Calm, Marie, calm. I have to go to the toilet. I can't stand them looking at me. He'll have to go at some stage. I'm not going to the toilet in front of them.
You can't hold yourself like that. Just go and block out their jeering.
No. No, I'll hold it.
You'll have to go to the toilet. You'll do damage to your insides. You'll pop like a balloon.
Come on, love. What's the matter? You could pull a cart with those toys.
Look, Kitty is going now. You can go after her.
I'll hold it.
The next day they brought a fresh batch of prisoners in, including Kit and Danelle Ryan.
My God, this place is worse than the last.
Dr. Kathleen Lynn, Madeline French Mullen, Winifred Carney.
Bridget Foley, you're here. I thought I'd never see you alive again. I heard desperate things.
Don't mind that fear-mongering. She couldn't get rid of me.
The other prisoners were Helena Maloney, Nellie Gifford, Annie Higgins and Countess Markievicz, in uniform and high spirits.
Penal servitude for me. My God, if that's what it takes.
Calm down. You're disturbing the peace.
There'll be peace when Ireland is free. Do you hear me? When Ireland is a free and one nation.
The following week, we were transported to Mountjoy in a Black Mariah taxi. 'Twas like a hotel compared to that rat hole of a Kilmainham. My God, how we didn't get serious infection, I don't know. But any longer in there would have seen serious effects to the health and well-being of the poor souls there. I was seen straight away by the prisoner doctor, a Dr. Cook.
Miss Foley, you must drink plenty of fluids. and allow the kidneys relief. I'll get the wardress to bring you medicines to drink, but use the lavatory regularly. Empty the tank, so to speak. And I'll be administering powder for the lice as well. Tell all the other women that, will you?
Looking back now, it's a fright to think of all the conditions we were subjected to in Kilmainham. We were led to move from there, but little did we know at the time that the joy and relief we felt when leaving Kilmainham jail would be very short-lived.
The Rising Sisters was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Written by Siobhan Fogarty. Produced and directed by Ruth Hayes. Sound design by Warren Tyvey. A Community Radio Yule production.